Then he says, the sin, not a sin, the sin, a specific sin, which so easily traps us or ensnares us. What is that specific sin he's talking about? It's the sin of unbelief, of not believing God's word.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. It's great to have you tuning in to Love Never Fails as we begin a new week. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the message from his 1 John series, Who is He Who Overcomes? Let's listen in.
And the word overcome, that's a verb. It's present tense. It's a verb, but word overcome there in the Greek implies a battle that's going on. But since it's a verb and present tense, it means that, okay, we are continuously then overcoming the world that we're in. Think about that. Do you believe that? What did Paul tell the church at Rome? Romans 8:37. He says, yet in all these things, what things? Tribulation, distress, life, death, angels, principalities, things created, famine, sword, whatever it is. In all of these things, listen to what Paul says. We are, present tense, right this minute, we are more than conquerors. Amen? More than conquerors. Meaning, the word literally is, we are super conquerors. We're more than conquerors. How? Through him, through Jesus, he obtained the victory for us, through him who loved us. Listen, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? We have the victory on the darkest, loneliest day of our life. We have it right this minute, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we see, we have the victory right now. And a scripture that I tell you I trust, I believe with all of my heart about how God wants us to live is 2 Corinthians 2:14, where it says this, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. Literally, who always leads us in one continual, ongoing victory in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. Now listen, the only way to have that kind of victory is to be led. If you're not being led, that means you're not following. Amen? That's the only way that you can do that. Listen, wherever God leads, whenever God leads, however he leads you, you've got to know, not here, here, that he loves you. He always leads you to victory. No matter the place, no matter the time, no matter the temptation, no matter the enemy, no matter the emergency in your life, we have the victory. But do you believe it or you just know it? See, what we know has to turn into belief. Because if not, it's just resting where it should not. It has to come alive in your heart. It has to come alive in my heart. You say, well, Bill, how do you know you have that victory? Well, because the Word of God teaches me. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God, listen carefully, who gives us the victory. To give it means it's a gift. Amen? You don't earn it. It's a gift. It's yours right now. Who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to listen to me for a minute. And I know you're listening, but what I'm saying is now really listen, okay? I'm going to say something, and I want you to know that I say it with the deepest love for you, and I do love you, and deep tenderness. You're the sheep of God's pasture, just as I'm a sheep of God's pasture. But if we really and truly believe God's word, let me just put it this way. Would you say, what we're just studying right now, would you say that it is shameful for any Christian to say, hey, Bill, to be honest with you, I'm just trying to get the victory. I'm just trying to get the victory, man. You know, I mean, I don't know. And I'm going, don't you think that's shameful? How can you get what you already have? Do you understand me? See, we know it, but we don't know it. We have the victory right now. We have the victory over sin. We have the victory over death. Amen. We have the victory over the devil. Do you not believe that? 1 John 2:14, what does it say? You young man, you are strong. And then it says, why? Because the word of God abides in you. Here it comes. And you have overcome the wicked one. But do you really believe that? We can quote it, but do you stand in it? In other words, I got it all right there, man. But is it in this place right here? And that's what's so, so important. Yes, the world is fallen. Yes, we fight the flesh, the devil, and the world. No doubt. And self. But we've overcome the world. We've overcome the world. Whatever is in the world that is against God, we have overcome it because Jesus did. Amen? Listen, we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory always. Now listen, the question is this. Do you really, does this church right now, do you really, really want to experience your position that Jesus paid for? And if you do, never say, oh, God's commandments, they're just such a burden. They just weigh me down. No, obedience is the way to victory and to experience your position. Amen? That's how you walk on water, loved one. When Jesus commanded Peter, who was in the boat, come out, come on. I ain't coming out there. Would he had an experience with the Lord? Would he ever walk on water? No. See, God loves you. God loves us. What father doesn't want? If God makes a promise, don't you think he wants his children to experience that promise? Or just, I know it. God said, oh, wait, you're messing up. Okay, you know it, but do you believe it? I'm your dad. I'm your Abba. I want you to experience the promise. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I want you to experience that through the hardest time of your life. But if you just know it, then how do you experience it? Because it's just up here resting. It's not in here living. Listen, never say, God, what God commands is just doggone, it's too heavy. You want to hear some commands? How about this one? 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world. Amen? Yeah, you know why? The world that killed Jesus, the world that is Antichrist, the world that doesn't want God, recognize God, or need God. Don't love that world or the things of the world. That's a pretty broad picture. For all that is in the world is not of the Father. Didn't originate with our Father. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those are all of the world. That's how the world lives. No, don't love that. Don't love those things, loved one. Oh, listen, the world is passing away, John says. But he who doeth the will of God, he who obeys the commands of God. Amen? Okay, who is really living now? Watch. He says, the world is passing away. He who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever. Every person on this planet right this minute, they are either living for the world, this world, and it's passing away, or you're a Christian and you're living for the world that's coming. Amen? That's just the way it is. How about another command, James 4:4? You know, do not be friends with the world. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. You become God's enemy. Amen? How can we love this crummy world? It's a crummy, crummy world, loved one. No, I don't want anything to do with this world. As a matter of fact, if you love the world, if you're friends with the world, how in the world can you overcome the world? Amen? One more. How about this one? Romans 12:2. Do not be, it's a command, do not be conformed to this world. Don't let the world shape your values and your walk and your talk and your dress and everything else. I don't owe this world anything, do you? No, except to save it. Amen? Okay, do not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed, metamorphosis, from the inside out. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may do something, that you may prove. That word means that you may experience what is good and perfect in the will of God. Amen? That's what it's all about. Andrew Murray said this, conformity to the world can be overcome by nothing but conformity to Jesus. What a word. Good word. Listen, all the world, I should say the world, but the unsaved, all that an unsaved person has is just this world. This is it. This is as good as it gets. And this world, they're living on a world that's one day going to pass away, loved one, but not you, not me. No, look again at verse 4. It says, for whatever, no matter who it is, whatever is born of God, just that new birth, overcomes the world. And the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Are you an overcomer? You know, are you just trying to hold on till Jesus comes? You know, listen, it says our faith. It didn't say our overcomes, but it says our faith. Not our fighting. Our faith overcomes the world. Why? Because of our confession in the next verse. Look at it. It says, and who is he, and I want to read it the way it should read, who is he who is constantly conquering the world or overcoming the world, meaning to experience that? Here it comes. But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, who believes in the incarnation, Jesus, his humanity, Son of God, his deity, perfect God, perfect man, the God-man, our Savior. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do all who are born again overcome the world? We just learned that, yes, amen, in verses 4 and 5. Did we absolutely learn that is our eternal position? Okay, so we know that is a divine fact. Now, but that is only a divine fact when it comes to our position, okay? What about when we say our practice? In our practice, are we overcoming the world? Loved one, listen. Why? If not, why not? Faith. Faith. Listen, where there is no faith, there is no victory. Did you know that? There's no victory without faith, loved one. You're saved by faith. Amen? Who's the object of our faith? Jesus. What did the writer of Hebrews tell us in Hebrews 12:1 and following? When he talks to how we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, meaning the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. It goes on and he says, then let us lay aside, let us put off, let us strip off every weight that so easily ensnares us. Every weight, baggage from the past, worry, fear. You can't run the race of faith if you have that hanging on you. Then he says something else about the weight, and then he says, the sin, not a sin, the sin, a specific sin, which so easily traps us or ensnares us. What is that specific sin he's talking about? It's the sin of unbelief, of not believing God's word. He says, and then looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Faith is one of the most important words in the Bible, loved one. Are we saved by faith? Yeah, through grace, yes. How about Romans 1:17? Four times in the Bible it says, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:6, is it impossible to please God without faith? Absolutely, loved one. Ephesians 6:16, how do you quench all the fiery darts of the devil? You take up the shield of faith. Faith. I believe the word of God. He throws that dart. No, I know what I believe. It's not here. It's here. Amen? Listen, that's important. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. There's the substance right here. The truth of God's word. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for. It is the proof, the evidence of things not seen. Listen, faith enables the Christian to see what is invisible. Have you seen heaven? No, I haven't, but it's there. Where does it live at? Not here, here. Oh, I'm afraid I'm not going to make heaven. Well, wait a minute. That's because it's living here. It's not living here. No, it's with the heart man believes. With the heart. And I say, oh, Lord. Now, faith is a substance. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith in God's word, faith in the word of God helps us to see. We treat things that we can't see as visible. In other words, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by, but we see things that the world can't see because we have faith. We have faith. Look at Noah, Hebrews 11:7. It says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned from God, remember? Oh, of things not seen. Had Noah ever seen an ark? Had he ever seen a flood? Have he ever seen a Democrat? No. No. Or a Republican? No. He had never seen a flood, never seen rain, not a drop of rain. The Bible says that from the midst of the earth was watered. It would come up out of that. No rain, no flood. It says, being warned of, divinely warned of things not seen, move with godly fear. He said, man, I believe God. I believe him here. Do you understand me? Not here, here. With godly fear, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Listen to me. True Bible faith is confident obedience to the word of God in spite of circumstances or consequences. You believe God's word. Don't you love Noah? Listen, man, can you imagine Noah? He preached 120 years and never had one person saved. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine I'm out here? What are you doing? No, I'm building an ark. What's an ark? Well, flood's coming. What's a flood? You know, are you with me? And you know what I love? Did he hold his ground? He says, I know what God said to me. Amen? But he didn't have it down as, I know. Do you see the difference? Oh, Noah, what a guy. I mean, he didn't let the world steal anything at all from him. No, listen, one man believing God, not in his head. Who attacks the mind again? The devil. He wants to steal the living word, whatever part you have, out of your heart. Don't let that ever happen. Amen? Noah believed God through everything. And he condemned the whole world because he believed God. He was the only person on earth that was right. Wouldn't you like to be in that position? I want to say something to you now, and I say it in love. And I don't know exactly how to always say things. You know, yesterday, Paul Koo came into my office early in the morning, and I had written on a piece of yellow paper what I'm about to share with you. I shared with him because the Lord spoke to my heart, and I wrote it all down. And I said, it is time, not tomorrow, now. Now faith is, not tomorrow. It's time for us to believe who we really are in Christ Jesus. Not just, I know it. Were you gnosko? I experience it. I got it down, man. I know. Listen, again, don't you think God wants you to experience his promises? Of course he does. Here's what we have to stop doing. It's time right this minute for the church to stop having an intellectual relationship with Jesus. I know all about him, the virgin birth. I know the substitutionary sacrifice. I know that he's coming again. I know that he's King of Kings. You follow me? Okay, well, good. But do you know it? Or do you see what I'm getting at? I've got the facts. But do those facts help you live if you don't really have them living in you? It's a living word of God. We have to stop that. We need to stop having an intellectual relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is not a doctrine. The Holy Spirit is a person. Amen? Do you know him? Do you know that he's here? Have you ever experienced him? Listen, do you think the Holy Spirit wants you to experience him? Yes. Do you think he wants you to have an upper room experience? Yes. Do you think he wants you to be endued with power from up on high?
Well, but you act weird when that happens.
No, you don't. Weirdos act weird. Christians act like the Holy Spirit would act. We've got to get it out of here and get it in here. God loves you. Listen, I told the early service, you know, listen, you know, we were singing that song today, God can do all things. Amen? Is that what we were singing? Isn't that easy to say it? Isn't it easy to sing it? But do you believe it? Do you believe that in your own personal life? Do you really believe that? Listen, there's nothing greater than experiencing God working. And the way you do that is by obedience. In my first pastorate, I'll never forget it. Becky and I, there we were, and we left, and we just kiddos, basically, in the ministry. And we have this gigantic, beautiful, rundown, collapsed old theater built in 1920. And we move into that thing and we start restoring it, and nobody's helping me, but kids, and kids come in and they all start getting saved and so forth. And we don't have any money, and we run out of money. But I'd already ordered the carpet. We were getting ready to do Christian concerts. Twyla Paris was coming into town, man. That was our first concert. That was a big deal back then. Some of you weren't even born. Do you understand? And there we are, and I have to pay $10,000 at 5 p.m. that evening. And we didn't have any money. I said, Lord, what are we going to do? He says, put that carpet in. I'm going, that can't be you, you know?
I said, but I got to pay. It's $10,000. $10,000. You know how much $10,000 was in, what, 1982, whatever it was? Huh? That's a lot of money. I'd take $10,000 right now. And the Lord spoke to my heart, told me exactly what was going to happen. Now, you can say, Bill, you're weird. I don't care what you think. I'm 75 years old. You think I care? I don't care. I know God speaks. And so he says, you'll have the money. And then he tells me how. I'm sitting at the supper table with Becky, okay? Becky says, well, you know, in an hour, it's 4 o'clock, in an hour, we don't have $10,000. I said, I know it. She wasn't doubting me or anything. And I said, well, the Lord spoke to me, said, in just a few minutes, my brother, who is in another city, is going to call, and he's going to say, Bill, you're not going to believe what happened. Someone just gave me $10,000 to give to you to pay for that carpet. And so I told that to my wife. She, you know, and she, listen, I didn't know if it was wrath or love looking at me. And then the phone rang. I picked it up and handed it to her. Remember that, sweetie? Yeah, she's shaking her head. And so she hangs up the phone after a minute. And I said, what was that? I said, that was your brother. I said, really? What did he have to say? I'm in another city. Somebody just gave me $10,000 to give to you to pay for the car. Now, listen to me. When you gnosko, you understand, when you experience God. You know what God does? Oh, he now really believes. He sees what's going on. My promises really are true. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never let you down. I'll never relax my hold upon you. They're real. See, it's real, but he wants you to experience that. So you get this here. See, I'm telling you, this is where we have to go right now. We have to stop just having some intellectual relationship with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. Listen, and here it is. You must, I must, this church must, right today, we must stop having an intellectual relationship with the Word of God. What good is quoting God's Word if we only know them and don't live them? Every Christian knows that Jesus said that we are the light of the world. Amen? Oh, we know that. It is living here. No, it's resting there. Are you the light of the world? Do you light up the world out here? Do you light up the darkness? Do you light up the darkness in your school, in your workplace, wherever you go? Do they see, oh, there's something different? They walk in and darkness is gone. And there's a light there. Listen, we have to become who we are. We can't have an intellectual relationship with God's Word. Amen? No, listen, we are the light of the world and be the light of the world. Are we ambassadors for Christ? Oh, we all know 2 Corinthians 5:20. We all know that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We all know that we're fishers of men. But where is it resting? Where is it living? Is it living only here, resting only here? God says, please get it here, because that's where it comes alive. It's time to live. It's time to live. And our greatest enemy is not the devil. Our greatest enemy is not the world. Our greatest enemy is self. Paul the Apostle, one of the greatest scriptures ever penned, Galatians 2:20, he says, and he uses I have been, past tense, I have been crucified with Christ. What does that mean? I'm not trying to be crucified. I'm not trying to crucify myself. I'm not trying to die. I'm already dead. Amen? Billy is dead. Bill, the new Bill, is alive. But I'm alive in Christ Jesus. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life in this world, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to tell you something, church. Anyone can call Jesus Lord, Lord. That means nothing unless he really is your Lord.
Pastor Bill's series continues on our next broadcast, and we do hope you'll join us again. We really appreciate you listening to Love Never Fails, and we pray that you have an awesome day. So long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.